be the knowledge here again this evening, and it's nice to see this company turned out on this wet night after the holidays. They're all looking well, and we're very glad to see you. Now, for 12 weeks past, we have been looking at this fascinating and sometimes frightening subject of demonology. And we use this big long word, demonology, we're just simply talking about the doctrine of the devil and his angels. And one evening we took a good look at the devil and went away back to the day that he was created and saw his creation and his occupation and his all the rest of it. And then for weeks we have been looking at this mighty multitude that follows him, that he hath divided and ordered into armies. And we have been watching these armies of the devil at work in this world of ours. Let's go back just to get the proper start to Ephesians chapter 6, please. Ephesians chapter 6. Verse 11, Paul writing to the saints at Ephesus said, put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness or wicked spirits in high places or heavenly places. And we've been looking at this great multitude divided into these different armies that Satan uses. We looked at this word principalities one evening. We found out that the word simply means princes, demon princes. And we found out that these princes are at work tonight in this world in the political realm. You remember we found the Prince of Persia, a demon that was over the whole province of Persia, and the prince of Grecia, and Beelzebub, the prince of the devil. We looked at these demon princes working in the political realms among the governments and parliaments of this world. And then we looked at this second army, these demon powers. Powers that come against the physical. Powers that come against the mental. You remember, we went away back to those who were oppressed with the devil. We remembered the woman of Canaan coming, saying, my daughter lieth at home, grievously vexed. We remembered the phrase in Matthew, all those who are tormented of the devil. And we saw this great army, these demon powers, working in the mental realm and in the physical realm. And then when we came to the rulers of the darkness of this world, we saw these demon rulers working in the evangelical realm, trying to keep out the light of the glorious gospel, blinding the minds of them that believe not. And we saw the devil trying to stop the light from getting in. Then we saw the devil trying to steal the seed when it got in. Then if he couldn't stop it and couldn't steal it, we saw him trying to smother it. In case it got out and got out. And then the last night we were here, we were looking at these wicked spirits. This is another part of this mighty host that follows after Satan. And we looked at the wickedness of these wicked spirits, and they're against everything that's moral. Let's get that bit settled. It's good, you know, to stand in the academy of God and view the battlefield and see these princes working in the political and these demon powers working in the mental and physical. See these rulers of the darkness working in the evangelical. They are our goals who are enemies of the cross, and we know that. We're thinking about these wicked spirits in the moral realm. And last time we were here together, we looked at demon-energized wickedness in the days of Noah. And I think that some of us saw something that perhaps we did never see before. No problem about the sons of God in Genesis chapter 6. Some of my best friends tried to tell me that these were the sons of Seth, and they were going after the daughters of Cain. Just fancy now. What they're trying to say is that only the sons of Seth went wrong, and only the daughters of Cain went wrong. What a poor, miserable argument to put up. And don't try to tell me that God destroyed the world because the sons of Seth went wrong and the daughters of Cain. I don't believe that. Oh no, these were demons at work. And we went into it very thoroughly. But the thing we tried to underline was this, that when God looked down, he saw that the wickedness of man, because man was responsible, you know, for letting wicked spirits take off. And the great point was this, that these demons did such a diabolical work in the days of Noah that every thought of every man was only evil continually. Oh, let's get a hold of it. Every thought, only evil continually. And when the world gets there, God will destroy it again. How could a holy God do anything else with a world like that, only destroy it? If he's inflexible holiness, when every man and his every thought is only evil continually, God will burn it the next time. But we're going to go on looking at this demon-energized wickedness this evening. Let's come to the days of Lot for a moment or two. And we're in Genesis chapter 19. Book of Genesis chapter 19, please. Reading from verse 1, Genesis 19. And there came two angels to Sodom at even. Two angelic beings to this terrible place called Sodom and became when the even shadows were falling. And Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. What a place for a righteous man to be. What a difference between Genesis 18:1 and Genesis 19:1. It says in 18, and the Lord appeared unto Abram in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. And if you know something about these old Bedouin tents, with its long veranda-like roof, where the shadow falls, it was here that Abraham was sitting. And usually at the heat of the day, in the shade of the veranda canvas roof, these old patriarchs who were near to God, they just meditated. When God came quickly, he found Abraham in the tent door in meditation. When these angelic beings came to Sodom, they found Lot sitting in the gate of Sodom. He was one of the counselors down there. He got into the council. He was directing this damned city. Where will you be when the Lord comes? Some of us will be caught on when we're being caught up. At the same time, two angels came to Sodom at even, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. And Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. He knew right well who they were and all about it. And he said, "Behold now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house and tarry all night and wash your feet, and ye shall rise up early and go on your way." And they said, "Nay, but we will abide in the street all night." This thought of letting him know that they were not having any fellowship with him in Sodom. This thought of letting him know. And of course he begged them, and he pressed upon them greatly, and they turned in unto him and entered into his house, and he made them a feast and did bake on leavened bread, and they did eat. But before they lay down, I want you to watch this carefully, because it's inspired by the Holy Ghost. I want you to watch the phrase, "the men of the city." And on this occasion it really means men. Not any woman here at all. "The men of the city," now just to make sure, the Holy Ghost said, "even the men of Sodom," so that you'll get the thing correctly, "compassed the house round," the whole men of the city, just the men of Sodom, "compassed the house round." Now I want you to get this phrase, "both old and young." Don't blame the teenagers here. Old and young. Just to make sure that you're getting it, all the people from every quarter. I think the Holy Ghost went to great pains so that you wouldn't miss it. The men of the city, the men of Sodom, old and young, from every quarter. You can't make any mistakes about it. The whole town, all the male folk of the town are up. They're fine. "And they called unto Lot and said unto him, where are the men which came in to thee this night? Because they saw these two angels going in, and they thought they were two men. Whereon the men which came in to thee this night, bring them out unto us, that we may know them. Now the word knows in a very special sense. You don't think that the whole city, both old and young, came round the door in the hundreds just to know these fellows' names, do you? Because you must be a bit backward if you're thinking like that. The word's in a special sense. They wanted to know them sexually. And that's very wicked, isn't it? In case you think that I've gone off the rails, I'll get it all out for you. Bring them out unto us that we may know them. And Lot went out the door unto them and shut the door after him. He's standing outside the door. He's saying to them, I pray you, brethren, I wonder why he used the words. I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. Is that the right word? There's nothing wicked about getting to know a fellow's name. Oh, no, Lot got the message already. He knew exactly what they meant. This is wickedness. I don't think that a whole town can be inoculated with this terrible wickedness of homosexuality without demons being at work. I can't accept that. I think it must be demons. You're not sure yet, is that right? All right, we'll read on. Lot said in verse 7, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. Behold now, I have two daughters which have not known man. Now you know why the word know is used in this fashion. Even the Virgin Mary said to the angel, how can I have a baby? How can this be, seeing I know not a man? It's a phrase that's used and everybody understands it. Now, this is the thing that I can see, that this city was sexually mad, not for a woman. These two girls had lived all their life in this city. They'd never known a man. Fair men were looking for women. They were looking for men. The women were okay, as safe as it could be. Lot can say, my two daughters, take them. They've never known man. I'm reading it right. Now watch it. Behold, now I have two daughters which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and do ye to them as is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing. Surely the word do is educating you. They were going to do something. They were going to know them in a sexual fashion. For therefore came they under the shadow of my roof, and they said to him, stand back. You stand back. And they said again, this one fellow came into sojourn, and he will needs be a judge. He's got on the council, he's going to direct affairs. Now we will deal worse with thee than with them. And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door. But the men, that is the angels, put forth their hand and pulled Lot into the house to them and shut to the door. Just to show that they were mighty beings, they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, young and old. This is the bit that really touches me. So that they wearied themselves to find the door. What a cursed city it was. how demon possessed they were. You know, you would think if the fellow was mad for sex, even homosexuality, and he was suddenly stricken blind, he would clear off. Oh, no, not these crowds. They stayed the half of the night, wearied themselves. You wouldn't think a blind man would go on with it. There's more here. I was talking to a professor at Queen's just the other day. Came up about homosexuality. He said to me, you know, Willie, you're all wrong in this. These men were sick. This is not sin, this is a sickness. Related with the sickness, professor, I'll tell you how God was. He burned. Don't you ever dare to tell me that this is a sickness. I'll tell you this, God didn't try to educate them. God burned them. I would think that God would know what it was. He didn't give them any pills or take them to any hospital or try to do this or that. I'll tell you this, God burned a lot of them. Oh, let's face it, you're not frightened, sure. I'll tell you this, that this thing happens because wicked spirits take hold of men. Don't you ever dare to think it's just something you inherited or that you're sort of soft and sick. The demons have got the hold of you if you're fiddling about with this. And God will punish you. Now, if you remember, this began way before this. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 9, I think it is. Genesis 9. And Noah's just coming out of the ark here. The sons of Noah, verse 18. And the sons of Noah that went forth of the ark were Shem and Ham and Japheth, and Ham is the father of Canaan. These are the three sons of Noah, and of them was the whole earth overspread. And Noah began to be an husbandman, and he planted the vineyard, and he drank of the wine, and was drunken. That's a terrible thing, isn't it? It's a shocking thing when a man gets drunk because of his own success. It's a terrible thing. That's why I said on Sunday morning, let's forget some things that are behind. When Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind, it was just certain things that he was thinking about. There are things back there that God wants us to remember. We should remember all his benefits. We'll always have to remember the Lord's death. That's why he instituted the table. We need to remember his mercies. But you know, there's a lot of things back there we can do quite well to forget. And I said one of the things was, let's forget our successes. They ain't the boys always looking around to say, well, they've done. Now let's forget about it. Let's have another go at this year. Turn your back on it. Don't be getting excited about it at all. There are some folks get drunk on their own success. And they do make a mess of it. Let's have a go at this year. Let's get grace for 1975. Let's get the coat off. Let's forget. poor old Noah got drunk on the very thing that he had planted and succeeded in. Noah began to be an husbandman. He planted the vineyard and he drank of the wine and was drunken. And he was uncovered within his tent. I hope you've got the word uncovered properly. As you know, if you ever slept in a tent, the clothes can't fall off you. Oh, no. Somebody came in and uncovered him. He was uncovered. You say, you're sure? I'm very sure. I'm always sure. Here's what it says. He was uncovered within his tent and Ham. That's the boy. The father of Cain saw the nakedness of his father. He's the lad who did it. Told his two brethren without him. These two boys are having nothing to do with him. Shem and Japheth took a garment, laid it upon both their shoulders, went backward and covered the nakedness of their father. And their faces were backward, and they saw not their father's nakedness. And Noah awoke from his wine. Watch this bit. And knew what his younger son had done unto him, and he said, cursed be Cain. He cursed Ham's son. Because if you're playing about at this in the dark, I'll tell you what's going on in your life. Wicked spirits have taken hold of you. And God will judge you, and God will curse you. In case you didn't get it properly. This is the very terrible thing, remember. I think it began even before that. Let's go to Romans 1 just for a moment or two. Romans chapter 1. When Paul talks about God to the Romans, he said this, verse 20, for the invisible things of God from the creation of the world are clearly seen. I think that's something we all believe in here. You know, when you look up at these mighty planets, and we're beginning to know how they move in their orbits now, how the earth moves round the sun 365 days and a quarter. They say it's half a second late now or something. But when you see the invisible things of him, you can see them from the creation of the world. They're clearly seen, being understood by the things which are made, even his eternal power and Godhead. So that every man on this planet without excuse. Because that's when they knew God. I think this is a thing we've got to get into our minds again. Somehow I meet people, and they meet them in the very highest circles. Some of these professors at Queen's, they think that this world started in a jungle. Which is that everybody was in a jungle at one time. I don't know where they get the idea from, only from the devil. Adam wasn't in any jungle. He knew God. And this takes us away back to the early days, because that's when they knew God. They glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was dark. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and there's thousands of these characters with us today. And changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man. Started to worship images, and then images to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Because of all this, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, to change the truth of God into a lie, and worship and serve the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their woman did change the natural use into that which is against nature. I think we've got to face this tonight, whether we like it or not. We all know about homosexualists, but remember there are lesbians among the women too. Some of you young women growing up, it's time you knew. Because there are women, old wicked women, who would love to fall in love with a young woman. And they would leave a man, and they would love to have sex with a woman. Do you think it doesn't happen? I can tell you it happens in the millions in Ulster. I can tell you that. And I can tell you, young woman, if it's happening, that the devil's at work. This is not a natural thing. This is not like getting drunk. That is bad enough. This is wicked spirits at work, taking hold of you. Taking hold of somebody else that takes hold of you too. Horrible thing. Been in the world for a long time. Watch what it says here, verse 27. Likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another. Men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. For even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. You know, he can let you stay with the devil. God could give you up, you know. Oh, you'd live a long time. And you'd be a pretty nice person to look at and all the rest of it. Ah, but your mind would be reprobate. You would never think right again. All you would think about was sex. You would be down. It's what this class stands for. The preacher talking absolutely dead on. Big man in the meeting put his arm around me, says, you know, we love you because you tell our children what they ought to know. It's what I'm here for. Have another look at this thing. We're away at 1 Corinthians now. We're at chapter 6. First Corinthians chapter 6. And Paul's beginning to talk to these Corinthians. Verse 9. He says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? You can get that into your mind. Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners, shall inherit the kingdom of God. Then he has to look round the congregation and says, such were some of you. You were caught up in this thing. But the gospel came to you. But ye are washed now. Now it's wonderful that the blood of Jesus can take some of these half-damned loonies and save them. Look around the congregation, such were some of you. I know all about you. But you're washed, but you're sanctified, but you're justified. Very wonderful. But remember, if the old wicked spirit gets his hands on you, I'll tell you this, and you let them take control, you'll come to a place where God will give you up and you'll be damned. Don't fool yourself that this is just a weakness or it's a sickness. It's diabolical wickedness and it'll damn you. What do you think God burns Sodom for? Yes, this is wickedness, wicked spirits, demon-energized wickedness in the days of Lot. Let's come a bit further with this wickedness. Let's come to Mark's Gospel, chapter 5. As I want you to see these wicked spirits at work in the days of Christ. I think Mark chapter 5 is one of the greatest chapters of all the Gospels. Somebody asked Spurgeon once, if you had a chapter out of the Gospels and you could only have one chapter for the rest of your life, what chapter would you take? Mark 5. Man said, why? Says, well, at the beginning of Mark 5, the Lord defeated the devil in the man over in Gadara. In the middle of Mark 5, the Lord defeated disease in the woman with the issue of blood. At the end of Mark 5, the Lord defeated death. Because Jairus' little daughter of 12 was brought back from the dead. This is a great chapter. Verse 1. And they came over onto the other side of the sea into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. That's a very valuable adjective that's there. Unclean spirit this time. Who had his dwelling among the tombs, no man could bind him, no, not with chains. Because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him, and always, without stopping, day and night he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying. Wanted to get this bit, cutting himself a stone. Because this unclean spirit is a very wicked spirit that's inside. In fact, there were wicked spirits in this man. And you know, they not only energize people for these foul sins that we've been talking about, but they begin to do wicked things upon the body. Energize this fellow to lift a big sharp piece of rock and rip it across his face and across his breast and over his head. That's a mess he would be in. Give him power to do it and then keep him from dying at the same time. It's very wicked. They're actually tormenting them. It's wickedness. One or two facts in this story we'll need to get out. And when he saw Jesus afar off, verse 6, he ran and worshipped him and cried with a loud voice and said, I don't think this is the man's voice that's talking now. I think this is the demon's voice. What have I to do with thee, Jesus? Thou Son of God Most High, I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. Wasn't the man that said that. It was the demon that said that. It was the demons that said that. For he had said unto him, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. Jesus asked him, what is thy name? And he answered, saying, my name is Legion. It's the demon that's answering. For we are many. Word legion means 6,000, I'm told. And I'm very sure from the rest of the story that there were 6,000 wicked spirits indwelling this man. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. It's the demons that's pleading. They're afraid of Christ. I've said to one or two of the Raphaelites, you don't believe that he was God the Son? You think he was a man? Yes, a good man. You don't tell me that 6,000 demons were afraid of a good man? You wouldn't like to come round and argue with me that 6,000 demons were afraid of an ordinary man? They're not afraid of me. And I assure you that I'm not afraid of them. Not for a moment. I know some of the scenes are almost frightening, but they don't frighten me. I'm not afraid of the devil. I'm taught in this book that if I really resist him, he will flee. But I would need to resist him with the authority of Christ, who bruised his head at Calvary. I would be no good on my own, but I'm not on my own. They're pleading that he won't send them away because he could send them into the bottomless pit. I want you to get this. Verse 12, now watch it carefully. And all the devils besought him. It's the devil's prayer meeting you're at now. All the devils, 6,000 of them, besought him, begged him. They're afraid of him. He's my Lord. Besought him, saying, send us into the swine that we may enter into them. They wanted to have a body to play about with, no matter what sort it was. Watch this now. And forthwith, four words for you. Jesus gave them leave. Oh, it just tells you who he is. If they're not afraid of me, and I can't give them leave, or this, that, or the other, they were afraid of my Lord. And his word was law. Give them leave. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine. You know this herd of swine, it says there, and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. There were about 2,000. You see, there were 6,000 demons here, so that there's 3 for every pig. My, they sent the pigs mad. Look, this is demon-energized wickedness in the days of his flesh, in the days of Christ. It's a horrible thing. If you could see this poor man, if you could see the stone ripping his face, what a mess he must have been as he looked. of the Savior coming in at the shore. Let's get it now that there is this kind of wickedness. You see, there was a UDA man arrested by four masked men just out the road there a little bit. And they took him to an old loft in a farm not far from here. And they put a nail through every finger. Four fingers and a thumb on that side and four on that side. Now I can tell you that to hold a man down, to put a nail through his finger, it'll take one or two fellows to be around. Not as easy done as you think. There must have been a dozen of them. But I assure you that they put a nail through every finger. And they put nails through his feet and left them spiked out on this barn floor. And came the next day, it seems, and cut his ears off. Came the next day and cut his tongue out. Cut every part of him, including his private parts. You don't tell me that's IRA. That's demon-energized IRA. That's a wicked spirit at work, because I love to mutilate the body. That's what that is. I'll tell you that's going on in this province. Sometimes, let me say this, that there are Protestants energized by wicked spirits. Be absolutely fair about it. Ah, yes. There are wicked spirits. You've got to wrestle with these wicked spirits. Do you remember this in the days of Christ's flesh? Let's go to Matthew 27. Matthew 27. And the Lord is given over here by Pilate after he had released Barabbas to be scourged. Verse 26. Then released he Barabbas unto them, and when he had scourged Jesus. Remember, Roman scourging was a terrible thing. They tied the prisoner's hand and they tied him over what was called a scourging pole. It was like this, and he was tied his hands away down there, so that his back was properly stretched. There's a whip that they had. It's about 5 feet long, the lash, and on the tail end of it, it's interwoven with lead, with little lead balls on it, and the fellow who does it can really crack it. And when he weighs it and cracks it on the back, he can just lift a long line of flesh right down. And they plowed furrows on the Lord's back. It was just the Roman way of scourging. Now, watch this. After they had scourged him, verse 27, then the soldiers of the governor, special battalion they are, took Jesus into the common hall and gathered unto him a whole band of soldiers. I don't know how many. They stripped him. To make it, and his back is bleeding, put on him a scarlet robe. They're making fun out of him now. When they had plaited a crown of thorns, there's nobody can make me believe anything else, but this was demon-energized wickedness. This wasn't usually done, but on this day they're doing it. They're standing in a bunch over in the corner, and they're hurrying up. They're getting these long thorns, longer than my forefinger, and they're like spikes of steel, and they're laughing, and they're getting it. And here is this bleeding spectacle with his back in furrows, and they come and crush it under his head. Don't tell me that wickedness wasn't abroad here. My dear friends, I stood in this place one day with a little nun, and I began to tell her a few things. And I could see the big tears in her eyes. Put my arm around her, hugged her. I said, "You ever give your heart to the Lord, you dear?" And it was there she was saved. Sent me her photograph the other day. What a sight it was. I want you to notice this. After they had crushed these thorns on his head, they bowed the knee and mocked him, you know. They just laughed and mocked him. Then they spit upon him. And they took reeds. Bamboo cane. Thick bamboo cane it is. Don't think it's a small thing. And they hit him on the head. And the thorns were there. One of our young fellows sitting at the back. We have an open meeting after the ministry meeting on Sunday morning where we sit down as saints round the table and we become brethren then. One of our young fellows got up to minister the other morning, bless him. And I watched him carefully, you know. He said, "I never saw this before, that they put the thorn on his head and crushed them down. And then spat in his face, and then struck his head with the crown of thorns upon it." It's wickedness. It's wicked spirits that do that. These men are energized. Yes. Let's go on to Revelation chapter 9 just for a moment. Revelation chapter 9, and when we come here, you know we're in the heart of the great tribulation. You see, what I believe, I'm a premillennialist, and I'm not ashamed of that in any sense or shape or form. I believe, you know, that we're coming to the spot in this world. There's so much wickedness. My, when you think round this world tonight, we're almost in the days of Lot as it was in the days of Lot. We're almost as it was in the days of Noah. You know, those days will come in all their fullness when Christ is coming back to take the kingdom. And if we're almost there now, then we must be very near to the Lord's coming for the church. Because they'll have 7 years to boil up their wickedness. One of these nights, the Lord Jesus will come. I say this every night, you know. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. One of our ladies said, "Mr. Monk, he shouldn't say it. He's got lads not saying it." It's like, I know how you feel. I'll tell you, it talks in this book, dear, about those who love his appearing. And I happen to love his appearing. And you just have to buckle up and put more forefinger and more fist and more prayer
They got a lot of talking and little prayer sometimes. Let them go to hell, don't you?
You need to wake up, because the Lord's coming. See that needs waking, not me. I love his appearing, and I assure you I do. And I wish he would come. And come he will. And the day he comes, we'll rise to meet him, we believe. Meet him in the air. In this poor old world of ours. It's the common market to get full marks then, and out of this European Parliament that some of the Labour governments fear, and rightly so. I heard two of them today praying. Going to have a European Parliament now, and we'll be a county council. We'll not have a say, they'll make the law. And they will. And out of this European Parliament will arise a man who'll take over Europe. They let them see what he can do. He will be the Antichrist. We'll be at the judgment seat of Christ then. But in the middle of the tribulation, God's going to throw a spanner in the works, you know. Because there's a whole lot of demons that are shut up now in the bottomless pit. God's going to let them out. Are you at Revelation 9? You're in the midst of the tribulation there, remember? And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven. And don't get too starstruck there. Saw a star fall from heaven onto the earth, and to him, because the star's a person, to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit. Now John uses figures of speech here. Talks about locusts coming out onto the earth. Let me show you that they're very different kinds of locusts from what we would think. Verse 4, now watch it carefully. And it was commanded them. And you can't command locusts very well. But these were demons, and it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the zeal of God in their foreheads. You see, there's 144,000 going to be sealed off. Well, these demons that are being let loose are so intelligent that they'll know the folks that have not the seal of God. And what's more, and to them it was given that they should not kill them. They don't like to kill like that. But that they should be tormented 5 months. They're going to be let loose, and they're going to torment every soul in the Antichrist kingdom. God just thrown a spanner in the works. And in case you think I'm going off my head, here's what it says in verse 11. And they, these locusts, if you like, this crowd that's let loose out of a bottomless pit, they have a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit. Actually, the demon of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, and in the Greek tongue, Apollyon, both words mean destroyer. He's a wicked spirit. Tormented is a terrible word, isn't it? You know, we're just beginning to get the idea that we're fighting against the mighty foe. You know, we've got to wrestle with these princes who are working in the political realm tonight.
Some of the faces that I see on the TV, I feel that the devil's with them. And there are demon powers working against physical frames and against minds tonight. And often in the past days I have sat down beside somebody oppressed of the devil. There's a letter this morning just oppressed of the devil. My biggest battle in life has been against the rulers of the darkness. Yes. When you're an old-fashioned gospel preacher who determines to uplift the cross and preach Christ and Him crucified, you'll meet this mighty army at every quarter. I know that there are wicked spirits around who would love to take your body and do wicked things. Who would take bodies and do wicked things to them. Who were so wicked that they took the Lord. These wicked spirits will be abroad in the great tribulation for 5 months. Now, what I have done on this sheet is just the mountain peaks of wickedness. Now, tell me this. Tell me what you know about witches and wizards. You know about witches? Know about wizards? Tell me what you know about sorcery and spiritism. Tell me what you know. Tell me what you know about diabolical divination. Tell me what you know about enchanters and consulters with familiar spirits. Now all this comes into the realm of wicked spirits. And we've just done the mountain peaks. But next Tuesday, we'll see about wizards and witches and witchcraft and witch doctors and sorcery, spiritism, and I'll show you there's more wickedness. And you see, when demons begin to take the minds of men, this is one of the dangers of this charismatic movement. And we're getting nearer to that, aren't we? And I assure you, we're not many weeks away from it. And I'll do it properly for you. But we'll see. You know about the witch of Endor, don't you? You know about Simon the sorcerer. Do you know what a familiar spirit really is? We'll get into the wickedness that's still there for us. Let's sing an old-fashioned hymn just to let the devil know that we're not afraid. 684, please. 684. We're soldiers of the King, redeemed and saved by blood. And now enlisted for the war to fight for Christ the Lord. In peril oft are we, but joyfully we sing, our hearts made strong by Him who leads, the soldiers of the King. We're not singing the chorus, we're just singing the three verses, 684, please.
Thank you.
before we sing the last verse, now do please talk to the Lord about a thank offering for next week. Not begging for ourselves, we don't need to do that. I feel that God has been talking to this young woman. And I think that we need to help her. You've got an old sock full of par notes somewhere, haven't you? If the Lord comes, I don't know who will get it. It's help this child of God, that's all. In a real way. God bless you. Laughter. Thee that we believers are on the victory side this evening. And although this wickedness is all around us and against us, yet through him we are more than conquerors. Lord, take us out to just give ourselves entirely in speech and in word and in thought to be, that we might live for him who died for us. And so we commit us to thee. Part us in thy fear and with thy blessing, for thy holy name's sake. Amen.